The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark, and Bishop Mulvey will discuss the trials and the hardships that are facing our church today. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Catholic Charities offers many wonderful free services. And to prove it, just visit their website, catholiccharities-cc.org. Now they've added free financial empowerment classes that can help increase your earnings and build real wealth. Every Tuesday, 9:30 till 11 a.m., class is held at their 615 Oliver Court offices. Class size is limited to only 10 persons while observing COVID precautions. To ensure you get a seat, register by calling 361-884-0651. Can't attend in person? The virtual option is available. Let Catholic Charities help you reach your goals. Register now or just get more information by calling 361-884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm good.
Greetings to everyone, and I hope you have a relaxing and fun weekend.
Yes. So our gospel this morning is from St. Mark, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Mark in the 7th chapter, beginning with the first verse and following verses. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed, hands. But the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of their elders, and, on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I guess it's a little ironic, Bishop, but this gospel is just says everything about what's been happening within our church for the past several weeks with all of the allegations coming out.
Well, I'm going to correct you, my friend. I don't think ironic is the right word. I think it is totally providential. I think the Holy Spirit on all levels mm-hmm. is working in the midst of our horrible crises and difficulties. And so I think it's very apropos that we speak about the present abuse crises within the church and the cover-up and our efforts to try to unravel this and to get on with us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before I speak of that, I do want to say to everyone that if the church has harmed you in any way, I want to apologize for that. I know in many people's minds that might seem to be an empty comment, but more and more of this comes out, it enters more and more deeply into the root of my heart and many others who want to see people healed of these horrible crimes that are have been committed over the years, over many years. And I also want to encourage anyone that if you have been abused or if there is something even from as far back as you can remember, please come forward and let us hear your story. Talk to us without fear. And if it is credible, and I'm sure if you come in that spirit, it will be. But I just want you to know that we're here for you and that we do have people that can respond to you and help you. But I also want to say, you know, and I know we're not getting into the problem here, but trying to address the current situation, if you see abuse anywhere, whether it's in the church, in schools, in families, it's young children that are affected. And I know on the website of the Pennsylvania grand jury report, there were three victims who are older now and they're at the adult age, but just it tears your heart to hear at their age to see how they will never get over this. That
weren't
life
they in
is
their 60s and 70s and 80s.
Right, right. But their lives are damaged, and none of us want to see that,
no.
Especially to innocent children and to young children, teenagers, adults. At any point that abuse happens or has happened, please don't hide it anymore. Please come forward and speak to us. So I want to begin with that and, again, beg everyone's forgiveness in the name of the church if you've been harmed in any way. But I think the reading today from the Gospel of St. Mark hits at the very heart of why this situation begins to happen. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It also shows that we can put on all sorts of acts. We can look holy. We can act holy. We can do all sorts of things that appear that we are speaking in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if our hearts are not in Him, these things are going to happen, and unfortunately, they do. There is a call, I think, here for a tremendous reform, for a tremendous conversion of heart, of bishops, priests, cardinals, and I don't like to accuse people because I think there's too much at risk here that we open up investigations at all levels, even the Pope, that we all look at it. And so we call to each one of us to look at ourselves. This is not to be funny, but there was recently I went to a little tiny home community which was set up to help people get off the streets in Austin. And so they have a community of 200 tiny homes where they give them a home and they pay rent. But anyway, so it's an incredible situation. But the gentleman that runs it gave us a little plastic thing that he gives to each of the residents when they come. And on the front side is the rules of the community. On the back side is the prayer of St. Francis. And then he says, if you want to change your life, the secret's inside. And so you open it and it's a mirror.
Oh.
And I think this is what Isaiah is calling us, what the Gospel of St. Mark is saying. We have to look at ourselves. We cannot point fingers. We cannot blame. We can't accuse without knowing facts. So I think it's just a call to all of us to look at who we are. It's kind of like Jesus saying, are you with me or against me? And unfortunately, it seems that so many people have been against him while trying to proclaim him over so many years. And this is disgraceful. As a bishop, as a Christian, as a Catholic, it's so hurtful to me, but I know to so many people. And some of you have come and spoken to me with a lot of disappointment, but anger in your voices too, and I understand that. It's hard to listen to, I'll be honest with you, but I completely understand. Last night I was in Falfurrias for a meeting, and immediately some gentleman, very rationally, and spoke to me about the situation, but very, very respectfully too. But and I agree with everything he says. We have to share the pain. We have to share the difficulties of all of this. What more to say? It's across the board. I mean, it's gone universally. It's gone internationally.
Well, it's all hierarchies, all levers.
But I mean, hierarchy nationally, unfortunately, and locally. But I do want to say that on my part, not to defend myself or the diocese, but we have tried our best to address every situation, whether that be sexual abuse or financial abuse or just abuse of people's dignity. We do investigate. And I say to everyone out there, I act. Sometimes what I do is misunderstood, it is misquoted, but I act, and I have to act. I don't want to be called down later and have people, more people hurt by not acting. I wish things could move forward more quickly and heal people. Sometimes these things stretch out, but it is something that I'm dedicated to as well. The other thing I wanted to say today, because people do say, well, what are you doing? And on a national level, I know that Cardinal DiNardo, who is the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, has called to put together a lay board that when any accusation or any misconduct by a bishop or cardinal within the U.S. would come forth, that it would have to review that that case and that person. This is not an inside job of trying to pull people together, but an independent group of lay people who love their church and can help to bring it together. In his statement, which many of you have read, I'm sure it's one of the things he says is, yesterday I convened our executive committee once again, and it reaffirmed the call for a prompt, thorough examination into how the grave moral failings of our brother bishops could have been tolerated for so long and proven no impediment to his advancement. This is what's disgraceful.
Yes.
That there have been cases maybe based on position, power, and the great word clericalism, that people can schmooze their way into other people's favor and be promoted. This is so scandalous. This is
that there was so much cover up done.
And then there's cover up. There's cover up. There's fear. There's so much that goes into this. It is just multi-layered, and this is the wound that has to be opened at all levels and be opened up, and hopefully can in some ways be cured. We're human beings, and I recognize that when we speak of it being cured, we will have to be vigilant from now on. Recently, I had a meeting with our own safe environment coordinators, and I told them that this is a ministry, that you as safe environment coordinators, you who are out there training people to recognize abuse, to report abuse, this is a ministry. This is not just police work. This is a ministry to keep God's children safe, to keep the church safe, so that people can come and pray, can learn, enjoy each other, have community without worrying or suspicion of who's looking over their back or who's looking at them. So I know we can carry this on in the second half of the program, but I just, again, it's hard to speak about, but I want to do this and thank everyone for their prayers.
And we thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Renewed and restored. That's the message Father Frank Martinez of Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church will bring to a special Youth Minister's Day of Reflection at the Bludser Spirit Center, FM 5528 at FM 3088, between Robstown and Old San Patricio. The date for this free event is Saturday, November 6th, and it begins with a complimentary continental breakfast at 8:30 a.m. and includes lunch as well. You must RSVP for this free day of reflection for youth ministers by November 3rd. So call now and reserve your place by calling 361-888-7537.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, you mentioned about talking to the safe environment coordinators,
right.
And I have been certified to do those classes. I was there. I've been certified to do those classes for several years, and what I've told the group, and it's interesting to hear the conversations afterwards, is that this just isn't our church. This is their workplace. This is anywhere they go and in their neighborhoods. And I give the example, I live on a cul-de-sac, and if I saw Johnny with a broken arm one weekend, yeah, and 3 weeks later there's a broken leg, there's something going on.
Right.
When I never see,
right,
Johnny on a bicycle.
Right.
So that's a heads up that anybody who abuses, they have loopholes, and we need to keep our hearts and minds open to make sure we close that loophole and do,
right,
our bit.
Yeah.
And so for anybody, you know, who is out there and interested in this ministry, they can get in touch with the diocese.
With their local parish. Yeah.
Right.
Or just to take, if you just want to take the class.
Sure.
On creating a safe environment, you're welcome to take the class registered through the parishes.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
You can certainly call the diocese to the safe environment office, but yeah.
If they want to be certified. But the classes are done for all volunteers,
right,
all of,
right,
us, our background checks. So, Bishop, as lay people, what is being done and what do we need to do?
I'm glad you mentioned lay people because you know, I've worked with lay people for most of my ministry in different ways, teaching together, doing spiritual direction together, meeting in small community gatherings together. So I want to pick up two words, and I brought this up at our pastoral planning meeting the other day, and I think it hit with the laity that are there. There's two words that are circulating in the church. So I want to say, you know, amidst the crises, the horrific stuff that we talked about in the first portion, but I do know that the Holy Spirit is working. We just have, mm-hmm, to look for the light and not the darkness.
Right.
Not to ignore the darkness, but to look for the light. But two words continuously come up in different things, and that is, in speaking of laity, that you are co-essential. Now, that can ruffle feathers among some. Co-essential means I can't live without you, you can't live without me, we can't live without each other, and we cannot live apart.
Right.
We are co-essential, and that, as the bishop of this diocese, is in my heart.
That's a great
word. To find
ways
that we, religious, priests, deacons, bishop, laity, we are all children of God, we all have the same baptism, and we are co-essential. We need to find ways that we work together. I would caution that this is not a vacuum that has been created by the clergy, or bishops, or pope, so that the laity rush in and take over. This is not a takeover. This is a co-essential matter. Let's work together. If you have ideas, let us know. So co-essential. And the second word is co-responsible. So if you see something as a layperson that should be addressed, with all respect, kindness, as you would to a son, a child, a neighbor, we just come forward and say, look, this might be a helpful way to do things. So those two things are in my psyche to, mm-hmm, continue working with the diocese and the situation, because we do need to rework some things. I firmly believe that as bishop, to work how we do things at the parish level, at diocesan, and of course nationally and universally with the church. The pope has called several popes, actually, more women need to be involved. How to do that? The church is old, and how to do that is not. It will take time, but it will happen. The other thing that I want to say more specifically to us, we do have already, which you would know in safe environment, what is called a lay review board. So that when an accusation comes in pertaining to the charter, which is an abuse of a minor, that accusation comes to the review board to be reviewed so that that it can see if it's credible. I want to expand that. I want to use that board, which is independent. They're invited, but they're not on staff. They're not paid. They are, in fact, there's former policemen, there's lawyers, judges on that. So I would like to expand that, that when any accusation of this nature comes in, that it would review it so that we can, you know, whether it's not just a child, but it can be also be a vulnerable adult, an adult, anyone. So that's one thing, and to work with that board and maybe expand it a little bit more.
Now, would that board also include any suspected abuses of clergy or religious, or is that handled separately?
Oh, no, no.
So this board would handle that too?
If it's a lay minister in the parish, if it's a priest, if it's the bishop.
Anybody.
Of course, now we know that the USCCB, the bishops of the country, are setting up a board as well.
True.
To have oversight over activities of bishops, too, that are suspicious or that are reported. So, but yeah, I would hope in this day,
right.
If it's me, then, you know,
right.
Send it to the lay board as well.
Right.
So that's one board that we do have. I also want to set up, and it takes time, but an independent lay board just in general to advise me on things in the diocese, especially if there are financial abuses that take place that are reported, that are brought in, that I can have that assurance of qualified lay people who can look at a situation and say, yeah, this needs to be looked at. So that's another, but that would be a new board that I want to set up exclusively of lay people. The other ones that we already have, and I think I know I've been trying for years, but we'll make new efforts, is the financial boards, which are required by canon law, by universal law, not just me, functioning finance boards in every parish. So that a finance board is made up of parishioners that are, of course, lay, and they work with the pastor to advise the pastor to be good stewards of the funds that come in, how they're handled, how they are taken to the bank, et cetera, et cetera. The spending that up at till a certain amount, a pastor cannot, I cannot, as bishop, I cannot just buy something, I forget the amount, but without checking with the finance board, or I can't approve something to be purchased or sold without the finance board. So the fact that I sold property behind the bishop's house, which had been blank and empty for years, sitting there, the fact that I sold that went through the finance board and the College of Consultors, which is a group of priests who also advise me. So lay
from the diocese.
From the diocese. So lay and priest. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
But those
right.
kinds of things are not at the whim of the bishop.
Right.
And I think everybody should know that. At the whim of the bishop, that does not happen. These things are done through the finance board, which is lay, which is also audited. The diocese is audited by certified auditors every year. They're in the chancery offices. We have to give them an office, and they go through all of the records every year and present it to the finance board for their review. So that's another board that we have, and a similar in the parishes. Every parish is required to have a lay finance board that is trustworthy and can help the pastor with the finances, set up a budget, et cetera, et cetera.
I thought most parishes had that. Some do, some don't.
Most parishes are supposed to have it.
Okay. So this will be something going forward
to
make sure it happens.
Yes, I think some parishes have been remiss in doing that. So that has to be.
Good. Well, it's keeping each other accountable. And
right.
anybody who's done any finance work, it's checks and balances.
Well, you know, sure, absolutely. I mean,
right.
And you know, I say, you know, in semi-defense of the priest, openly, not to excuse, but they're not businessmen.
Right.
Some of them have the degrees in philosophy and theology. But what I'm trying to say is, brothers, if you trust your people, you know, they're there to work with you. We're here to work together. We're co-essential. We're co-responsible. We don't fear each other.
Right.
We don't need to do that. So we're coming along. But that is something that I just want to say that is about lay involvement. I think programs, and that gets to the final council, which should be a parish council. Unfortunately, and some of our parishes are very small, but parish councils are not there to run festivals or jamaicas. They're there to say, what are the pastoral needs in our parish? You know, who's hurting? Who's you know, things like...
Well, grief support.
Grief support, I was going to say. Also, funeral dinners. What can make our parish more beautiful? Mm-hmm. We as pastors really should be involved with people in the sense of their spiritual needs, their sacramental needs, going to hospitals, visiting the sick and home and working, you know, with people who are preparing for the sacraments and preaching the word, living the word and preaching the word. And that's why we do the Word of Life, although we're skipping it this month for this program. But this is why we do, we need time to prepare the homily. But it needs to speak to us first as pastors. And this is where I want to go back to where we started from. We need to renew ourselves in the Word of God. When Jesus is pushed aside, his word is pushed aside, and we're left with our own human way of thinking and not with the wisdom that God wants us to have. I have not given up hope. I will not give up hope. I know that this is a terrible time for everybody, especially those who have been abused and those who are still in harm's way of abuse. Let's all do what we can. I'd like to quote what Cardinal DiNardo said in his letter, as a sign of hope. And he said, I quote, "The more the church is buffeted by storms, the more I am reminded that the church's firm foundation is Jesus Christ." This is Jesus Christ's church. Mm-hmm. It's not Pastor X's church or Pastor Y's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. We are servants of him. That's my comment. Continuing, "The failures of men cannot diminish the light of the gospel. Lord, by the help of your mercy, show us the way to salvation." Sisters and brothers, let none of us lose hope. If we pull together, listen to each other, get past our anger, our disappointment, and begin to really pull together as a true body of Christ, we can get through this and help young people, children, babies in the womb, immigrants that are being trafficked across borders to the abuse that is everywhere in our society. Let's pull together and be a light in the darkness. Let's not live the darkness. Let's get through it and be the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Bishop. So, Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to this program. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.